What's up, guys? So we are going to be doing some Q&A unofficially, not super. We don't have a real tight subject that we're going to be covering.
Because we want to hear from you.
Guys, we're going to be taking some questions. I've got one of my two phones that is playing YouTube stuff. And I'll be able to, someone didn't have their phone muted, cover some questions about this year. There is an event that I would like to talk about later in the live that we are actually going to be sponsoring and that I will be attending coming up in April. I just had a long phone call with the guy who's running the event, and I want to talk about that a little bit. And I'm also actually thinking about going up to AIM Surplus to hang out with them a little bit here in the near future, maybe do a meet and greet up there. Possibly I need to talk to them. Totally have not talked to them about this plan, but we're good pals with AIM Surplus, and I'd love to go up there. It's only like 5 hours away. Drive up there, hang out, talk to them about some stuff, business things, maybe do a live, and also maybe meet some of you guys. So I think that'd be a lot of fun. Interesting framing going on with the camera, but whatever. There we go. That's a little, better. All right, so...
Questions.
Yes. Let me real quick cover some, probably the biggest question that we're seeing people ask is plate carrier, ready rig, restocks on law folders, restocks. Well, here's the problem. Isaac and I do not work in procurement, shipping, receiving, vendor relations. We don't work in that realm in the company. There's other people who are far better at that job than we are, who have the responsibility of dealing with that. So when we come into work, Isaac's dealing with holster development and all sorts of other nerdy creating product stuff.
And we do know what's
other
going
things.
On. But
we know
I
what's
see,
going on.
I see that you're going with the plausible deniability angle, which I like, so we'll roll with that. Yes.
We try to know what's going on, but if we spent every minute trying to know exactly what's going on in every department, we would not be able to do our job. So I do not know where we're at with restocks on most of the products that we're selling. I don't know where we're at with ModLite, Surefire, Aimpoint, EOTech, how often we get stuff, how many things we get. We kind of know sales data. I know how fast certain things sell out. Most things right now with the way demand is sell out instantly. And then we have to wait on that vendor to send us more because we don't control the manufacturing of that product. So we're at their mercy. If it's a company like Aimpoint and they've got contracts, well, then we have to wait on that. So lots of stuff going on. So I have no answers for you guys on restocks or dates or quantities or when they're coming in or how they're coming in or quality control.
Plus a policy thing where we don't want to talk about it ahead of time for various reasons, where we're trying to under promise and over deliver. So if we knew that there was a shipment coming tomorrow, we still wouldn't say anything because we would want to QC it and put it in stock before we told you, like, hey, there's 5,000 coming in and there's only like 4,000 that are good enough
and then,
or whatever.
I'll actually give you all a scenario that just happened last week. Now, this is fine. The 6th came up. You all know it happened on the 6th.
Nothing
we were sitting on
sixth.
About 10 pallets of armor, something like that. Quite a bit of armor. It was selling. I mean, it's been selling very good for the past year. We had extra shipping capacity. We were getting ready to restock a product that's highly anticipated. Then the 6th happened, and our armor sales went through the roof, and we were selling through pallets of armor throughout the day. So shipping got slammed for the next week, and we decided we're not going to restock and add another, 1,000 or whatever additional packages into the pipeline. So because of political events that affected the sale of a certain product, we did not restock another product. So things like that happen, all kinds of stuff like that. People come in sick, we're down a few people, okay, we're not going to restock until this date. Generally, though, and I will say this, we generally do a lot of our restocks early in the week. We try not to do restocks on Friday anymore. It would be more effective for you all with paychecks if you did it on Friday, but it slams everyone else in the company. CS, shipping, we do not work on the weekend, we do not work on Sunday. So we do most of our restocks now on Monday and Tuesday so that there's time to ship those the next day on Wednesday, Thursday, stuff like that. So as far as restock sort of SOPs for you guys watching the company, Mondays and Tuesdays, usually pretty hot days for restocks. We don't really do Friday anymore. I can say that with pretty good authority.
Yeah.
They don't usually like it when I push things on Friday.
Oh, yeah. So,
or launch products on Friday. So I don't really do that.
Yeah.
There are some strategies involved in all of this to maintain stress and sanity here at the company, especially right now with 2021.
But well, the main thing is just that policy of we don't want to overpromise and then underdeliver. So we're not going to tell you about restocks until we're actually stocking. So that's
now
generally
here's the thing.
How it goes.
I love a good restock. I really do.
Restock.
We all do, actually. Mm-hmm. Thoughts on the Purse 4. The little bitty laser only. It's actually pretty cool. It's a full power laser. You order it. Comes from Russia. How long it arrives really depends. I had some stuff arrive within a few weeks. I've had stuff take 2 months. I've had buddies where it's taken 3 months. I did just get a bunch of stuff from Russia. It only took about 2 weeks. Order at your own risk. Originally, I heard there was no warranty, but then Zintico or whoever's at that company was like, oh, no, we will warranty, but it requires shipping it back, which is an ITAR violation, so you can't. So there's really no warranty on Purse lasers. They are Russian-made. They're built like tanks. They're full metal-bodied, very sharp, jagged edges because, you know, Russians don't care about pain. So order at your own risk. I mean, I've got a couple. I've used them here and there. They're pretty cool as full-power lasers that civilians can go and buy on eBay. It's pretty cool, but I, for various reasons, prefer sticking with Western-made, but I do have a couple Purse lasers, and they're pretty fun.
Someone asking about the machining cell. When is that going to be up and operational? The machining cell is up and operational, but it doesn't actually make things for sale. It's currently making things like this. This is a jig for making holsters.
Here's Isaac leaking stuff.
Well, this isn't actually a leak. This has nothing to do with a new product.
For
except
sale,
for
$8,000.
Except for the fact that new products will be made on this. But this is a jig for cutting stuff. And these are...
Can I feel?
You may. These are pneumatic cylinders that pop up and grab stuff. So, yeah, the fact that we can make this in-house. Oh, yeah. The fact that we can make this in-house speeds things up tremendously. Especially this I'm guessing 2021 is going to be busy the way that 2020 was. It was very hard to get machine work done simply because the demand for it was ridiculously high. So we got our own machine.
Someone asked, very good question. Someone asked, is it a good time to start a training company right now with the way things are going? So yes and no. I've had conversations with other firearms instructors. I personally believe the era of shooting classes that are high round count is over. Except for people who have a lot of money or they saved up a lot of ammo and they're still willing to go and shoot 1,000 round day classes, cool. But I think the era of just going out and mindlessly taking pistol classes and shooting out 800 rounds plus travel plus expenses, I think that is kind of over. Now, what I do think there is going to be more of a need for and more of a request for are classes that are more related to small unit tactics, logistics, communication, land nav, night vision. I think more people are going to be buying night vision this year because they're spending less money on ammo. Mm-hmm. More money will be available for other things. So I do think more specialized classes are going to be requested. I think less shooting classes are going to happen. So I've talked to other instructors, some competition guys, and we've kind of talked about it, and they more or less agree that some of that is going to die down. Even though more people are getting guns and even though more people want training, it's hard to do training when ammo is a fortune. Force on force classes actually have probably not been affected as far as price, because usually a good force on force class, you're really not shooting that much UTM or SIMS ammo. So those could keep happening, and they really should keep happening. I think more instructors should do force on force. They usually don't because of liability insurance, and it's a little more specialized. You probably want someone who's a little more knowledgeable running those. I've taken force on force classes before from different people. Some were great, some were not so great. But I think if you are thinking about starting a training company right now, I think it should be more about more related to specialized stuff or very, 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 very basic shooting that does not use very much ammo. Mm-hmm. The advanced, super high speed, dumping 10 round mag dumps into targets from 5 yards, I think that's kind of going to be over. I think that era is over until ammo comes back at inexpensive rates or more inexpensive rates at a higher quantity. That's my opinion, though.
I'd say that's 5 or 6 years away. Now, there's one thing that I haven't seen a lot of training on that you touched on, communications. I am getting a ton of questions, radio-related questions that I cannot answer. I am not a radio guru. I'm just an entry-level guy. Those of you who are communications gurus and know your radio stuff, now is a good time, I think, to start a training company in that particular arena because it doesn't cost ammo. That equipment is still readily available. As more and more people get kicked off of social media, they want to get onto radios. And the demand is going up. So that is something that I would love to see more trainers doing. I would love to get training on more advanced radio stuff myself.
Shotguns are great for birds and breaching. I do not use shotguns except for that. Oh, and three gun. Shotguns, I don't recommend to almost anybody ever. Although I would say it's probably... Well, I would say it's probably easier to buy a shotgun right now than a carbine. Probably, shotguns are probably still fairly prevalent, and you can get them for like $300. But I don't recommend shotguns when carbines are available. There's no reason at all to go buy a shotgun unless you want to shoot less lethal, breach doors, or shoot three gun. In my opinion, when you can go buy a carbine that you can insert a 30-round box magazine in, shoot 2 meters away, 1 meter away, 1 foot away, all the way out to 300 meters away. Shoot as fast as you can pull the trigger, pretty much, which you can't do with a shotgun unless it's like a Benelli M4, and even then you only have like 8 rounds in the tube. I've got one of those. I have like the Premier shotgun. I still don't like shotguns, but people have lots of opinions. They love the versatility of ammo. You know, there's the saying, with the right load at the right distance, shotguns are great. Well, guess what? I don't know anyone who can plan for that, know exactly when that's going to happen. They don't get to game it like, oh, I know exactly he'll be at 12 meters. He'll be blading his body like this. I need exactly this round because I have this choke. You have no idea what, when or how you're going to be able to employ that shotgun with what ammo and what load. But a rifle, you'll slam a magazine in there, rack the bolt, rack the charging handle, whatever, safety, and you're set, you're good to go. So shotguns, don't recommend them. They're a more complicated system to master than a carbine. There's a lot more going on with them, with the lifter, the tube, different rounds, loading rounds backwards. Most people, they want to shoot their buckshot first, but they load it first, so then the last round they load, their slugs, is actually what they end up shooting first. So you have to think about it backwards, and then do you candy cane, do you not candy cane? Can you put a red dot on it? Probably not. Shotguns don't, you know, are harder to accessorize. Do you run, how do you put a laser or a light on it? Oh, you got to get this weird mount for it. They're just not as effective, in my opinion.
Also,
in my opinion,
people in the chat are saying that shotguns are also sold out, which shouldn't be surprising.
Oh, okay. Biden, good to know. I don't look into shotguns.
Joe Biden's in office, and he recommends shotguns. If you'll recall, two blasts from a double-barreled shotgun off of the balcony of your multi-million-dollar mansion is what brings the Secret Service to deal with the threat. So that is what you should also do.
It is true.
Yes.
All right. I had to reopen YouTube because it got all weird.
I have a question here, which is interesting. Someone asked, how can you set up Second Amendment groups or communities that don't attract white supremacists or anarchist types? And the answer is, you have to do more than just Second Amendment stuff. If all you care about is guns, you will attract theoretically everybody who cares about guns. You need to have a more fully orbed plan for what you're trying to accomplish, a more systematic, a systematic theology, if you will, so that you actually are not just a Second Amendment group, but you're also a First Amendment group. And you also have a standard that you can state that you're working towards as a group. And that's what's going to keep people out of that group when they disagree. That's what's going to keep communists out. For example, there's an Antifa group called the John Brown Gun Club, I believe, out in Arizona, I think. And they're technically want to be a part of Second Amendment-y stuff because they like guns, but they also like fascism and communism at the same time because they're confused. But they're not that confused because there's a lot of overlap there. And so you need to have, if you're building a community, you need to have a standard that is more than just guns good. Otherwise, a bunch of people who say guns good are going to show up. They're all going to clash with each other. There's going to be division and fighting, and it's going to be a problem. So you need to build out for yourself, but also for the community that you're trying to build, something that is bigger and has an actual direction and a goal besides guns good. And that is that's how you do that. That's what we're trying to do with T-Rex.
People are
talk about more than guns good.
People are asking if I'm shorting GameStop. Nope, I'm not. That was pretty hilarious, though.
I haven't been in a GameStop in a while.
Did you see it happen, though?
It's kind of amazing.
It is. It's amazing how much power one man can have. Anyway,
this is why
I think it's pretty fun.
This is why, this is why T-Rex is probably not going to go public.
People asking that too. No, we're not going to go public. There's no advantage as of right now for us to go public. There's no reason. We're not going to do it. It's better private anyway. Lucas, do you have any advice for young people trying to start a business / company in the industry now? Well, I would say I've talked about this. I talk about this a lot, but basically, starting a business anywhere, you should look at two things. One, Can you create something nobody else creates, or can you create a thing or provide a service better than the people that are already doing that thing? If you can do one of the two, you're set. If you can do both, then you're really set. Originally, I started making holsters, which everyone else made, but I tried to provide the service of that better than other people. So better pictures, better marketing, better production, better lead times. And at various times that fluctuated where we were doing better, then we weren't doing better. Our lead times got too big. Then later we actually did create products that other people didn't create, the sidecar. And then everyone ended up making the sidecar about 8 months later, a year later, more. And at first they made fun of the design, and then later they wanted a piece of the pie, and I understand that. So if you can get one of the two, that's awesome. Now, as far as getting into the industry right now, starting an animal company right now, probably the worst business decision you can make. That seems weird probably to some people because ammo is through the roof. There's companies that are billions of dollars backordered.
I will say the only thing that is more overpriced than ammo is ammunition producing equipment.
That is correct. But on top of that, in order to actually get the supplies to make ammo, you've got to have years of inroads established with distributors, manufacturers, which you don't have if you start one right now. I am really glad I did not start an ammo company last year or the year before, because that company would be doing nothing right now because I would not have had it established. Someone asked as well, are you going to start an ammo company? We have no intention right now of starting an ammo company. Who knows? It could happen in the future. I looked into it about 3 years ago. The margins are horrible. Most small ammo companies go out of business. It's very hard to compete against larger companies like Winchester and Remington. And although Remington just sold their ammo branch to someone, I can't remember who. It's very hard to compete with those larger companies that can order primers in the millions, powder in the thousands and thousands of pounds.
Probably already
very hard to deal with.
Yeah, they probably have POs from 2 years ago that are
they're still working on
it. Yeah.
As far as producing firearms, also horrible time to get into firearms. You've got to have supply lines built years in advance. What I would recommend, and on my last live that I said this, there were a number of people who went out and bought machines and started making stuff, and they actually sent us product, and we got product in hand within a couple weeks. Super dope. Never had anything quite like that. I said, get into sewing. There's a huge market for nylon gear that holds ammunition, equipment, medical, whatever it is, fill in the blank. There's all kinds of designs you can make. You don't have to necessarily go and copy other people, but you can take principles such as plate bag, shoulder straps, elastic cummerbund. That concept, yeah, everyone makes a plate carrier like that. Nobody's copying anybody. You could go and make that. You could go make mag shingles that hold magazines. You can make basic chest rigs with some straps, sling bags, bags like this. Nylon is totally awesome. Materials sometimes are hard to get depending on what it is, but the good news is there's tons of non-berry compliant materials that anyone can get.
And
the berry compliant materials that are IR reducing, Corduros and stuff, some of those can be hard to get at times, but there's all kinds of non-berry compliant materials you can buy. So on the live that I talked about this, there were a bunch of dudes who literally went out, bought sewing machines for a few $100, and they sewed up some little mag shingles, and one dude sent us some stuff literally 2 weeks after that live. Super cool, super dope. You can do it. Start a one-man shop making some little stuff. You can put it on eBay to start. That's how I started my company. And then you can morph into other stuff, hire more people, come up with new designs, innovate, learn. It's going to take you probably about 6 months to a year to get really good at sewing, though, if not more. So patience.
But if you're doing basic stuff, it's definitely doable. And I would say there's an advantage to being a smaller shop, especially when you're dealing with stuff that is limited. If we were able to get enough of this material to make 50 bags, that's almost useless to us because 50 bags is just going to annoy a ton of people that we only had 50. Whereas if you're a small one-man band and you make 50 bags and you sell 50 bags, that's decent. And then you can move on to your next product and the profit margin on that would be good. And it wouldn't matter that you could only get half a roll of this stuff. So getting things like half a roll of fabric at 25% the initial cost and then making 50 bags out of it, that's a great thing for a one-man band to do. And T-Rex cannot take advantage of that stuff anymore.
Smaller companies can be way more nimble than a company. And I don't classify us as a small company. I don't classify us as a big company. We're kind of in the middle. We're at the middle. We got weaknesses of both. We can't just make a small limited run of like Derek, our nylon guy. I could go over there and be like, hey, Derek, I need 10 subgun ready rigs, and he could make those. But that, I can't put those up for sale. It's not going to work. It's not going to happen. They'll be gone too soon and make a bunch of people angry. But a small sew shop could make 10 specialized HK 417 chest rigs and call it that on their website and make 10 of them. And yeah, you'd sell through those in maybe a few months, a couple months, and then you make some other stuff. So I do kind of miss being a smaller shop. And honestly, I wish I had learned to sew early on, because I've actually been more interested in this kind of thing than Kydex. I like nylon gear more than Kydex, I'll be honest. So I wish I had learned to sew. I didn't. So if you guys are looking for something to get into, something to do in your off hours, get a sewing machine, order elastic, order some Cordura, order some stitching and or binding, whatever it's called. And I guess not stitching, thread. And get to learning. There's videos online. This stuff is not rocket surgery. You can learn it off of YouTube and you're good to go.
Glow in the dark rocks. So, I do have some glow in the dark rocks.
Let me see.
Strontium aluminide.
Can I dump them out?
No, they're epoxied in.
Well, that sucks.
I've been making a bunch of those for the kids.
They grow off the backs of crystals.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a bunch of people asking questions, buy a forge, start blacksmithing. There's a whole bunch of opportunities for small businessy stuff. And I think the people are really looking for opportunities to buy American and to build American and to, find out some of these opportunities that exist, especially if you live in a state where you are freer than some of the giant companies in California that are still locked down. You need to be able to take advantage of these opportunities now. You have an edge today. You may not have an edge in 6 months. So I would say move quickly on some of these ideas that you guys are kicking out. TLR7 sub holster. We don't have a TLR7 sub light yet, but it's on our list of things that we're wanting to do, because the TLR6, I don't like it. Never liked it. I would love to replace it.
None of the T-Rex staff were at the Capitol on January 6th.
None of the T-Rex staff were inside of the Capitol on January 6th.
There weren't even any outside of it. Anyway, at least not that I know of. No, they were all busy working. We were, I'm afraid. Any comments on Ferro Concepts? I'll be very honest about a few things. We used to sell for them. This is
more
back before.
More honest than your Capitol?
Yeah, sure. I don't know if anyone that was, anyway, whatever.
Okay, well, okay. I will just say, there was nobody inside of the Capitol building.
We had people, there were people that were there?
Oh yeah.
From the company?
Oh yeah.
Outside?
Yeah.
Oh.
There were like a million people there. Surely some T-Rex folks were there from inside of the company, including someone that I won't mention on camera, because you'll immediately know who he was and you'll remember that he's there, and then you will be like,
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I just wasn't even thinking about it.
All right,
anyway,
Ferro.
But not inside. But anyway, so Ferro. So we used to sell product from them back before people knew who they were. We sold the Slickster. I liked the original Slickster more than the current, well, at least the one that they sold us later. We ran into some quality control issues. We also couldn't get the product, so we stopped selling them. And I still liked the Dangler, though, but then they were like, we don't want to sell product to you. That's fine, whatever. They have since gone on to produce some very cool products. I actually think their Bison belt is super cool. They're using Tigris material in the cummerbunds of their new plate carrier, the FPC5, which I actually had... the owner sent me a long time ago an AOR1 FPC1, I think. I have it somewhere. It's pretty cool. They make some really cool stuff. I was on their website this morning. I was actually trying to order some stuff from them just for my own knowledge and playing with it, because people ask about it just like just now. But it's out of stock. I couldn't order anything. The FPC V5, which I'd like to get with their Assault Cummerbund. And then there's some other stuff I wanted to order from them. And their little mini dangler looks pretty cool. So they make cool stuff. If you can get it, it's going to be good product. Their new stuff looks really cool. They're innovating. They're changing some stuff. I really like that. They make cool stuff. But again, it all comes down to stocking. It comes down to, can you get it? With the demand right now, pretty much nobody can be in stock ever. And it's just how it is. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Can I create my own CivTac server? You
absolutely can. I would check that. I would check out the ATAC Reddit. That's where most of the information is kind of being collated. I am not actually. I am swamped with other T-Rex stuff, like this and all that this implies. So I am way behind on producing videos on radios that I'd hoped to do, and producing videos on politics, which I think is going to be a higher priority this year than radio stuff for me personally. But I'm always talking to folks about radio stuff. I had a very interesting conversation with some people on a top-secret server about radio stuff.
Very cool. I'm not even in the server, but it's okay. Well, we have a Wolf A1 review on YouTube. I don't do reviews. as you well knew. We spend time talking about other things, but I'm hoping to do a one take or something with the A1s and actually around shoot them and talk about them a little bit. No idea when that's going to happen. I've only had time to take them out twice because I don't shoot as much as I used to, but I would like to talk about them a little bit. We have like 7 uppers or 6 uppers with different optics and setups and stuff on them. Mm-hmm. So, which I only need to really use 3 of them. So the rest are for like other projects.
Someone's asking, why does the Ragnarok have a nub by the trigger guard? That is where the belt loop attaches when you use it with the belt loop, which is an awesome way. You can't scoop draw it because there's a thing.
Oh, yeah, the nub in. Yeah, it's for a belt loop.
That is there for belt loops. Yep. Also, so you can adjust the retention on the trigger guard. Also, for various other reasons. But actually, we should be reminding people that the Ragnarok is actually a very cool outside-the-waistband concealment holster with the belt loops.
It hugs
very tight. It's my second favorite OWB belt holster for winter concealment. Mostly advertise those on war belts and things, but I think they're cool for concealment as well.
Women have worn the ready rig, yes. MOE or railed? I think MOE, I want to say Magpul, I'm sure they still make stuff that's MOE. M-Lock is the new thing, so I'd say try to stick with M-Lock. Don't do MOE because then you're stuck with like some old school type stuff. Do M-Lock instead.
Someone's asking if we can sell the Second Amendment reading list books on our website.
We've talked about selling books before.
That's probably not something we're going to do real quick, although we do need to put the reading list up on the training tab.
We need to. We're doing a bunch of site redesign. The front page is actually getting a bit of a redesign soon, which is great. Product pages are getting a redesign soon, which is great. And we're trying to move some material around in the training area because it's not real sorted real great. And I'm currently thinking about producing some videos here this year that will be exclusive through the website, which will be essentially unedited training courses that I do for people here at the company. So 1 to 2 hour videos of talking through the drills, working with the students. It's kind of old school Magpul-esque, but from my perspective and what I like to emphasize and focus on, and those will be on our website, nowhere else. So don't know when we're going to produce those. I would like to do that. I have 4 different classes slated for this year, 4 people internal in the company. So a rifle one, basic rifle stuff, a basic pistol. We have 2 cameras rolling on that, 2 different angles showing everything. We chop it up, but we leave it pretty unedited, no music, not fancy, and we just drop it there. 2 hours of class stuff for free, no charge, all that good stuff. That's subject to change potentially, but I think it will be free. Accessible on our website. Go in there, watch it whenever you need to, get a little refresher, hear about trigger press, wall, recoil management, reloads, maybe malfunctions, although I don't focus a whole lot on that. Then I have another one that will be low light, and then one that will be either basic night vision or some longer range, intermediate distance, 200 meters, stuff like that. So the plan is those videos, whenever those happen, will be on the website, only on the website, not YouTube, not Vimeo, nowhere else. Well, technically through Vimeo to get hosted on our site.
For now.
But yeah.
But technically, anyway, we are looking to create new types of content. But one of the things that I would love to hear from you guys is not so much what kinds of content you want, because we know you want all of it, all of everything, but how do you want to consume it? Because right now it's very easy for you to watch YouTube videos on YouTube, and that may not always be around. So be thinking about how it is that you actually want to consume media. Do you want to download it? Do you want to stream it? Do you want to be able to put it on your phone and MP3 it? Do you want podcasting? Let us know some of what you're thinking in the comments, because we need to start working on alternatives to the big platforms, like pretty much everybody does. So, something to think about.
Someone asks, when are loaded Med 1s coming back into stock? Only empties are on there. So, again, I don't know what's going on with Med 1s, really. Here's what you can do. Get an empty one. It still comes with a tray. You can go to a website. I used to use this website a long time ago. You can literally take our list of what's included and snipe those off other sites and build a loaded Med 1. I used to use a website called Chinook Med to order a lot of medical gear. They sell a bunch of stuff for North American Rescue and whatnot. Or you could just go to North American Rescue and buy the parts there. But you could build out that medical kit yourself rather than waiting and having nothing. So buy the empty Med 1 and just fill it out yourself. It will come with the tray and then you're set. Just fill the tray up with all the items.
Don't keep saying you don't know what's going on with the product. Because you actually do know what's going on with the product. What's going on with the product is if it's on the website, it's in stock. If it's not on the website,
it's not out of stock.
It's not in stock, and we're not going to tell you until it is in stock. So
right.
I'm saying you don't
so
know
I know
what's going on.
I know what's going on. I just don't know exactly when it's in stock, when it's out of stock, when it's in, when it's out.
Yeah.
I don't always know that.
But we also won't tell you even if we do know, when we do know.
Will we join WPSN? So that's a whole discussion. However, we're not leaning towards putting all of our content there. Now, yeah. If John came to me tomorrow and said, hey, I would love for y'all to put two videos on our website people can watch from your brand, I'd be like, you know what, John? Let's do it. I'll make a couple of videos for you to have there. Hey. Are we going to move all of our content there? No. I don't think so.
And here's a reason why. Warrior Poet Society Network is a very cool video alternative that is a cool backup. But Warrior Poet Society is also a store that sells belts and holsters and various things. And T-Rex is a store that sells belts and holsters and various things. There will be confusion for customer service. If we moved all of our media over there, people would start to write Warrior Poet customer service to be like, hey, why is the Orion not in stock? The confusion would be... If, not something that we want, even though we love those guys.
And I will say this, and I talk about this on my Instagram Live, Warrior Poet Society Network is essentially John Lovell TV. It's his brand. It's his company. T-Rex Arms is our own brand and our own company. So if his channel was titled something more generic like Gun TV, and it was not tied to a particular brand that people could go to and use as a hosting solution, it would make a lot more sense for other brands to migrate to his platform.
Well, it worked great for most brands because a lot of gun tubers,
they don't sell stuff, they don't have stores, so it works.
It works perfectly, yeah.
For us as a distributor and a retailer and a high volume retailer of products from Hesco, Surefire, other people like that, and our own products that we manufacture in-house, it doesn't make a lot of sense. So that's why I'm not chomping at the bit to go move all of our stuff over there.
It would be
because we'll host stuff on our own servers and our own site if need be.
Yeah.
Which we already host a bunch of exclusive content on our site. So.
But I do want people to know we're friends.
We like John. John's great.
And we love the name Warrior Poet. The only issue is one of confusion with search engine optimization and customer service and just people knowing what's going on. As we build our own brand. So
someone asked,
there's some options.
Someone asked, can you do videos on Twitch? I'm actually doing a Twitch live right after this one in the armory because I can show guns on Twitch. I can't really show guns on YouTube on lives. It's unfortunate. So if you guys want to actually ask questions on guns, see guns, accessories, whatever, I go live on Twitch. I try to do it every Wednesday after this at 5:30 to 7:30 Central, twitch.tv/aimbotkin. And I talk guns, talk stuff. So if you want to actually get into some of the meat and potatoes of some of that, I've been doing that on Twitch because I can actually show guns on there. So yes, the answer is that we are using Twitch for some of that. And it's cool. And I saw another question in here I wanted to get to, but I probably missed it because questions are coming in like this is a Shroud chat.
Float Plane. We will look into Float Plane. We will look into Telegram. We will look into Gab TV. We will look into all of these things as alternatives. But we are trying to drive people to the site where we have a little bit more control. Some of these platforms get deplatformed in a hurry, and we're trying to build some resiliency, which is going to mean multiple platforms, but also trying to build something that we have a little bit more control over, which reminds me, the podcast is something that is pretty hard to take down at this point. So subscribe to our podcast, which at the moment is just this show. Like and subscribe and smash that like bell. But the podcast is just this show, but audio. But subscribe to it because it's easier for us to maintain and keep people from taking it down.
People are already asking. I feel like either people weren't listening to us talk about Warrior Poet Network or they showed up late. We already talked about it.
There's also a delay.
I guess. I'm not going to become a playable character in Modern Warfare because I told them I wasn't interested and working on the game was enough. I'm probably going to get that question for the rest of my life, even after the game is dead. So...
people are asking us if we have a Discord. Discord is not safe. A bunch of Discords that I was on have gotten taken down. So look for alternatives. I'm working on finding out alternatives, which means I'm letting other people do all the work, and I am helping with testing. So, yes.
Yeah, communication is tough these days. Restock questions. I don't cover those. They restock when they restock, unfortunately.
Why don't you make...
That's pretty much how business works anyway. I will say, though, we are putting a lot of time and money into fixing stocking, so there's more. The problem is, with the way things are right now, I don't know when we will have stock of anything like where it's always in stock. Maybe 6 months, maybe four, more. I don't know. It's demand. If this was 2 years ago, stuff would be in stock more. Other companies would have plate carriers in stock like they did 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Slings would be in stock. Aim points would be in stock. Law folders. Remember when law folders were in stock pretty much everywhere? Yeah, it was a couple years ago. Not anymore. Because of the way things are, but like stuff was in stock a long time ago.
It's not in stock
right now because of what's going on.
I will say we have wanted stuff to be in stock and it hasn't been in stock. We have dropped a number of balls, but it isn't all,
it's not all us.
Everybody else is also out of
honestly,
stock.
Honestly, I wish it was all us because that's a lot easier to fix than it being your fault. No, just kidding.
Yeah, no, if we were just making mistakes, you would just go and buy from somebody else, but.
But then you go to someone else, and they're out of stock, too. And then you're like, ah!
Is the Luago Alien Arms, the Luago Arms Alien, really made of unobtainium? Yes, it is. Straight from Pandora.
It's also, what, like $5,000?
It might come down. That's how much I believe the Scorpion was before the Scorpion got mass-produced.
The Scorpion pistol? I mean, SMG?
Yeah, CZ bought it from Luago. Luago invented it. CZ bought it.
CZ's buying everyone right now.
Now, CZ may not buy the Alien, but Luago may mass produce the Alien, and then it'll get cheaper. I can't wait.
I bet mass production means it'll still be a $2,000 gun. But
it's still complicated. It's still complicated. It's probably going to be like a 20.
They're going to keep a premium on it because it's unique technology.
A Walther Q5, something like that. It's complicated to make. But yeah. It's going to be. I can't wait to play.
This guy's pestering. Do any of your products have patents or copyrights?
Ooh, this is a good question. So
you answer that.
Nothing is patented currently. This is a conversation that we have had
many times.
Personally, I think our patent system is kind of messed up, but that doesn't necessarily mean that companies shouldn't protect themselves with patents, even though the system is currently messed up. However, our current plan is not to patent anything. Our current plan is to, if we invent something really awesome, which
totally rad.
So far, I will
like
say
a toaster.
We haven't done that. We've just basically...
We haven't made a toaster.
We've done iterative stuff. Yet. But if we were to invent something totally awesome, and we couldn't keep it in stock, which is how things seem to be going, we would want other people to be able to try to make it and benefit from it. So our current thought is that we will not patent stuff. And there's another company that does that. Kel-Tec does not patent stuff. They make stuff and then let other people run with the ideas if they're good and develop stuff. We're not as good inventors as even Kel-Tec is.
Well, they're inventing, like,
they're inventing complicated stuff.
And a lot of that requires a lot of engineering. Our stuff does not require engineering right now.
Which in some ways is good. Because if we wanted to invent something like, say, the sidecar, and then let other people make it, it's pretty easy for other people to make it.
Same as sewing.
It makes sense to not patent our stuff. But even just, I would be happy to just open source all of our stuff as a kind of ideological statement. But there's also just the fact that in the current climate, getting as much stuff made as possible, even if we can't make it ourselves, we're good with that. That is something that I think would be really helpful for the community, and I like open source a lot.
The other protection a lot of companies or people forget is if I go and design a product, a nylon product, that is like the Ready Rig, which there just hasn't been chest rigs made like the Ready Rig, in at least in mass production form or built the way that it is. There is a chest rig thing that is sort of similar made in the UK, but it buckles. I actually was going to order one. It buckles in the front. It's elastic all the way to the rear. The pockets aren't super optimized. It's a single Y-strap, so it's not the same. It's similar concept, but if you come up with a cool concept, and as long as you execute it well and you are able to create more of it or market it better or just create it better than other people that copy you, that's a protection in and of itself.
Yes.
So that's more what I prioritize than just keeping other people from making it. Like, other people are going to go and make the products that we make. I mean, everybody makes sidecars now. People are going to start making Ready Rigs. I think one company actually already said, we're going to make a Ready Rig in black and call it that. And I'm like, well, that's kind of dumb, but whatever.
Well, and I would say,
it's fine, but if they don't make as many of them or better or update it as much as we're planning on updating it, then is it really competition? Not really, in my opinion.
And I will say things are a little different for us. We're not a huge company, but we're big enough that if we make a thing, and this, thank you for bringing up that UK company that made something that's kind of like the Ready Rig. They're a small enough company that most people did not know that that existed. We did not know that that
didn't
existed.
Didn't have marketing,
so an older if company. They had, if you are somebody who has an idea and you're not already an established company, you may want that patent to protect yourself from bigger companies. Whereas with us, it's like we have enough of a media presence. We can demonstrate prior art
with marketing
very clearly, and we can let everybody know that this is a thing that we are rolling out. Yep. So it is a little bit different. If you're just an inventor, I mean, do protect yourself in some ways, but I do like open source, and I think that that is better for the community for most of what we're trying to do.
Someone asked, are you going to sell radios from Hytera, blah, blah, let's see a bunch of brands. So this is actually kind of interesting. It sounds like there's a new, we actually got an email recently from someone in the military. They have some restrictions now on who they buy product from, and they cannot buy product from companies that sell radios or communication gear from certain companies. Such as Hytera and some other folks. So
Huawei.
Interesting. I don't really blame them. So making a decision to carry Hytera, for example, means we will not be able to sell equipment to SOCOM and other entities like that. So that plays into our decision making. We already aren't selling comms gear from those companies. So why we would all of a sudden start selling it? It's a possibility. I don't know. I would rather pick an American manufacturer if there's a good one that we can run with and sell comms gear, but that's a whole discussion that we still are having on selling comms gear. We have discussions on selling almost anything. People have asked about night vision, helmets, comms gear, guns, etc. We are constantly talking about new products to bring in, and companies send us product all the time for us to potentially sell. Excuse me. But that's an interesting development that now the military has a little more restrictions on where they buy gear from. Even if they're buying holsters from us to issue to a unit, if we sell Hyteras, they can't buy the holsters from us.
Well, and there's another thing that goes into our conversations, and this goes into things like, why do you not sell guns? Why do you not sell night vision? There are things that have good margin. There are things that have margin. And there's things where if we brought on radios, we would have to bring on a whole new level of customer service and warranty that would be a massive step forward. It would be very different than adding another weapon light, for example. And so that is a huge hurdle and a huge step to something like that. It's not just, are they available and is the margin good? It is, would we be able to support the product fully? And are we actually confident this is what everybody needs? And radios, I mean, they're kind of like shoes or pants or knives where you can buy them lots of other places and you might have a specific need that is different from what we carry. And we wouldn't want to say, no, you must buy the radio that we stock because we only stock one radio. So radios are so personalizable or so directly related to what your different needs are. That's a reason why it's not high on our priority list unless we had a product that was so incredibly awesome that it worked for everybody. And yeah. Nothing on the market is that
this
yet.
This is interesting. Really interesting stuff going on in the comments right now.
It's usually spicy in there.
It's getting more,
British
more
Army,
spicy.
LA-4582.
Bunch of racist comments going on right now. Interesting.
People are actually recommending the British bullpup?
Goodness. There's a whole debate going on in there about the British bullpup. It's very interesting. Someone was asking about, there's some armor. If you have questions on armor with the AC-1 or whatever, you can always email the awesome team at T-Rex Arms, team@trex-arms.com for customer service, and you could talk to them. Spirit of Systems, they make really good stuff. I really like it. When it's in stock, obviously. But yeah, if you can find Spirit of stuff, they're good to go. They're carriers and all their cool stuff. I will say, though, I do not like how the cummerbund attaches in the back of the plate carriers. I've said it since the beginning. Not a big fan. So it is what it is. So radio is very important. Isaac's the one who is more of the expert on comms than me. I focus on shooting and some other stuff, and he does more of the comms stuff. So definitely talk to him. Oh, someone asked, is night vision going to become more affordable?
Yes.
Yes and no.
Someday.
Yes and no. At some point. Who knows when. If you all have been following some of the industry news, L3 Harris, they had a little merger. So basically, large night vision manufacturing communication company merges with massive DOD company, makes stuff. So boom, L3 Harris is the new name. They are unrestricting the sale of GPNVG-18s, Pano night vision, and PVS-31 alphas to the civilian populace, which is super dope, I might add. However, should people buy 31s over something like a DTNVS, which is easily user serviceable? Probably not. Should you buy Pano Night Vision for $40,000, which is what it costs to the average person now? Probably not. That's a lot of money unless you have expendable income or you're using it for work, which is originally why I bought my set, was for teaching, training, and stuff like that. That's where I would recommend buying a product of that cost if you are using it for something like that. So that's cool that things are getting better. Did that immediately drop the price on night vision on everything else? No, it did not. I don't think analog night vision is going to become super duper affordable, but I will say it has gotten more user friendly. There's more systems on the market. TNVC launched a couple years ago. They're like budget company that's called, what's it called? Someone in here will know. They have basically a sister company that takes their like blem stuff, gets a little more blemmy, and they sell it for cheaper. And they market it well. Like, I can't
starting to be more education.
I say they market it well. I don't know the name, but there's like 50,000 night vision companies now, which is cool, but also confusing at times. So things are getting better. Things are getting easier. Things are getting unrestricted. I think that's awesome. It's great. Is night vision going to become something sold at Walmart? No. Is it going to become $500 for a tube? No, it's not. They're still going to have a little bit of price to them, but things are definitely better than it was 10 years ago.
Yeah,
I will say that. But these for people to forget. Night goggles. Okay.
It's very, very good where we're at with night vision now. But until digital night vision comes along, the manufacturer production of night vision isn't going to triple or quadruple, and it's certainly not going to be 10x or 20x what it is now. There just isn't a reason for them to do that. And the way that night vision is made...
Night Goggles Inc. is the company. Okay.
We could do an hour-long video on how night vision is made. It is so complicated. It is like mad science, how it is made. It's unbelievably
night
difficult.
Night vision's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
New gun owners with spiked ammo.
There's a bunch of things.
Is it the new norm? Ammo. Nobody knows yet. Ammo, remember, in magazines went up in price during Sandy Hook right after, and they all came back. I mean, AR mags are being sold on cheaper than dirt for like $150, but now they're back to $10. I think we have P mags in stock in the thousands right now. So if you need P mags for a couple like $12, I mean, but they used to be like $150 during that time. And ammo went up too. And then when there was the green tip scare, that went up in price too, and it came back. So I don't know. I don't know if it'll go back to being like 19 cents a round for 9mm. It may go back to like 24. May have stay a little higher, but at some point, yeah, I'm hoping it'll come back, but I wouldn't expect it to come back to what it was a year ago, or 2 years ago, I should say.
As long as there is instability and questions about the future of stability in the country, I would say demand will be high, but there's also just demand from those 9 million new gun owners who want ammo, so it'll be a long time before we catch up to what normal is. But if uncertainty is still what uncertainty is, then that'll be the new normal.
So real quick, because I talked about earlier in the live, an event that I wanted to talk about. So I just got off the phone for about an hour with Max Lee Grandis. Some of you all may know who he is. He's a top PCC shooter in competition, really good shooter over in the Vegas-y kind of desert area, Utah area. He's hosting a match with Cobalt Kinetics in April, two-gun match. And he and I have been talking off and on for the past 6 months on rule sets, problems with three-gun, USPSA, how do we get new, like, practical shooters into competition who don't own shotguns, they don't want to do three-gun, but they want to test their skills, they want to run their ARs, they're more practical ARs that aren't covered in, you know, red Cerakote, lightweight, bolt carrier groups, muzzle brakes, all that crap. And he and I have very similar opinions. So how can we make a more practical two-gun, you know, match with metricable performance? So he is hosting a match that is going more in this direction the third weekend of April in Utah at Cobalt's facility. Cobalt Kinetics is an AR manufacturing company. TRX Arms will be a sponsor. I will be there. I will be shooting the match. It's a pretty cool match. Furthest distance is 200 meters, not super long range. They're doing that so people can compete with PCCs, 9mm subgun type weapons. The practical division allows people to run red dots on their pistols, regular like Glock slide mounted stuff, not open division like crazy race guns. Your carbine can have multiple optics. I honestly don't like that competitions restrict people from running offsets and LPVOs or magnifiers with EOTEX. So you can run whatever you want optic-wise. You can run a suppressor if you want. You can run flash hiders, no muzzle brakes allowed. I will probably run a suppressor, a mini suppressor on a probably like a 13.7 or something. But probably one of the coolest things, and this is super stupid, competitions don't allow it, people with air pistols can compete with their air pistol being a rifle in the rifle category. Most matches are super fuddy and they say you have to have an SBR license or you have to have a tech stamp on your SBR to shoot a short barrel gun. You cannot shoot an air pistol. But Max was like, that's stupid. We're going to allow air pistols. So if you have an air pistol, it's 11 and a half, 10 and a half. You want to shoot it in the match, you absolutely can. I think that's super dope. You can run it with an EOTech and a magnifier. You're not in open category. You're just in practical division, which is what I will be shooting. Pretty cool match, 200 rounds rifle, 200 rounds pistol. There's going to be some cool stuff there. I'll be there. We'll be sponsoring it. I mean, I guess things could affect me from going, emergencies, but I should be there. I'm planning on being there. And that's third weekend of April. If you go to practicescores.com/ and you just look up Cobalt, C-O-B-A-L-T, you can find that match. I'll be posting more about it on Instagram, but sounds like a really good match. Talked to him for a while. And we're a stage sponsor, the staff sponsor, and we'll be giving away a bunch of gear and stuff and maybe some ready rigs, you know, if you want to score one there, if you compete, that is. Yeah, hoping to see some of you guys there. But good practical two-gun match, which I think there need to be more of, that is more accessible to regular folks who aren't three-gun gamers, USPSA gamers. So, yeah, it'll be fun. Well, ooh, boy. What?
Which month is that?
April. So it's coming up. Third weekend.
Probably it's going to be fun. Busy to working out. On a brand new product.
Yeah.
Otherwise, wait.
Shut your mouth. But yes, there's something. There's some things coming. See, that's what we do. So, like, kind of going back to what I talked about, there's restock stuff, receiving, shipping. We have a receiving department. They receive packages and pallets. That's what they do. We're working on new products. I'm working on, like, 8 or 9 new products of various types. Isaac's working on new products. That's what we're doing. And then, of course, doing stuff like this. So we're not up to date on other things happening. You know, I don't know how many packages are getting shipped today. I don't know. I could ask. I could run over there and ask. I probably won't. Because right after this, I'm going to go live on Twitch for like 2 hours. And by that time, they're all gone. So I'm not going to know how many packages got shipped today. I could try to find out tomorrow if I need to. But I don't really need to know that unless I absolutely need to. So
also, I'm actually spending a shockingly short amount of time making new product because this has been a crazy year already, and we're most of the way through January, but the demand for holsters is way up. I was really looking forward to the Black Friday sale and then the lull where I have some time to do development, but no lull yet. And it's kind of looking like there isn't one. So a lot of the stuff that we are doing is stuff like this. This is new tools to build existing stuff, and it'll eventually come to new products because new products will be made on the new tools. But the amount of time that we are spending building new tools and building new procedures for the regular stuff that you guys are already buying is a huge amount of time. It's one of the advantages to being a smaller company is that you can be a lot more agile in that way. It is very difficult for us to introduce new holster stuff at present because it involves training a pretty large amount of people to make that new product. Whereas before, if you wanted the sidecar to be different, you would just come up with something that you wanted to change about it, and everyone that you made after that, you would make that way. And it's a little more complicated now. So, yeah.
I saw this question come up a few times. It's pretty cool because this is a video I did forever ago. Is my Arsenal 104FR coming back, which is what I said in the end of the video, and I really need to stop doing that because plans change. The answer is I would like to do a video on that, maybe a one take or something. It has changed a lot. I have a lot of different parts for that gun, which might be the subject of the video. It's here's all the accessories I have for it. Here's some Russian stuff I got for it, blah, 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 AK stuff. What's actually cool is 5.45x39 ammo has actually maintained price pretty well. It hasn't jacked up, so that's pretty cool. I love it how people have said 5.45 ammo is dumb because of availability. It's a little more rare, and like I guess American companies don't make that ammo very much or at all. But the funny thing is, during this ammo scare, 5.45 ammo has actually been one of the calibers that has maintained its normalness, unlike 5.56, 308, 9mm, all that good stuff. So I've picked up a good amount of 5.45 ammo over the past year, being at like 39 cents a round, like pretty normal prices. So pretty funny. That's how it works.
For now.
Yeah. So anyway. But with all that said, guys, we'll take a couple more questions. And then I'm going to transition over to Twitch to talk about guns for a couple hours in the armory. There's some new stuff that I can show you guys. We received three new guns yesterday, which are pretty cool. There was some other new stuff we received since the last one that we can talk about. And and another new one showed up today that I'm cloning for a project that I'll show you guys for a video, YouTube video specifically, that you guys will hopefully think is pretty cool. So I'll show that as well. Now, 5.45 prices are ruined.
Yep. That was all it
took. Good thing I already bought a bunch. No. So I actually would like more 5.45 AKs.
I would buy more 5.45 ammo. Well,
you need an AK.
The problem is there's some really good 5.45 ammo that's not available in the States, which brings me to
I've had some people ask me if I could get some straight from Russia because they're issuing some new stuff. And
that's my problem is that. But one of the things that is interesting that we should bear in mind, there's been some people asking political questions and gun control questions. One of the things that I would watch for, because the left always says that they want gun control and they're going to push for gun control, and then they usually don't push for gun control quite as hard as normal. But this could be different because we have a bunch of progressives and extreme folks, and they have all, they have kind of all the seats at the moment. So one thing that you would watch for, I would say, is executive orders related to gun control, because that will indicate how much the current administration is actually pushing, because they're obviously not shy on executive orders. So watch for that very specifically. Yeah, it's a record.
But they haven't done anything with guns yet, have they?
Well, this is what we need to watch for, because I would say there will be demands from
the Senate, other folks,
make the House do stuff. The House will say, but we're demanding that the Senate do this. The White House will demand that the legislature do this. Other people will demand the White House do this. There's a lot of passing the buck that goes on with unpopular policies. I'm not saying there won't be gun control. In fact, I'm saying there will be, but it might not be some of the bills that are currently being pushed. But I will
say, might not be this year either.
If you see executive orders that are gun control based, they're probably going to be import related, and that will be a very bad sign. So that is my theory. That is my my thought on that. So, yeah.
Cool. So with all that said, guys, I'm going to be migrating over to Twitch here in the next 5 minutes, where I will answer your questions more specifically about gun stuff. We'll be able to show some of the gun stuff, hopefully take care of some of that. I see you guys have other questions rolling in here. I'm going to keep talking for probably a couple hours. May crack another rain, because where'd that rain? Did I just finish that off? Oh, it's gone. I may drink another one because, you know, why not? Very healthy, stimulates the brain.
Somebody was asking earlier.
What?
Somebody was asking earlier, if they put a Monster sticker on their finger, will it become a full auto device? No. You will get cancer in your finger. Your finger will not be regulated by the ATF. It'll be regulated by the FDA, and you will have cancer in your finger. That's what will happen.
Well, I don't know. But anyway, guys, thanks so much for tuning in. I hope we were able to help some of you guys out with questions, answer some stuff. We get a lot of the same questions every week, and that's fine. New people show up, which is awesome. It's one of the great things with social media, mainstream social media, I should say, is not so much preaching to the choir, but getting new people involved who stumble upon it, think, wow, this is pretty cool, gun stuff. I'm researching this. I'm getting into guns. That's why Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube are such valuable resources for changing culture, because it's where everyone is, which is why migrating to a gun-centered social media is not always the best strategy, unless you're forced to, because you're pretty much only preaching to the choir. You will not acquire new people on those platforms. But YouTube, where like half the world exists, I think I'm sure there's data on that. It's probably like half the world's population is on YouTube, if not more. It's pretty incredible as a tool to reach people. So that's why we're here. That's why we're going to continue doing lives. It's why we would like to produce more YouTube videos this year, per time allowing. So thanks so much for tuning in, and we will be back. We will answer more questions.
Next week, we might even have a topic. Who knows?
We might. Later,
thanks,
guys.
Thanks for that. Thanks for watching. Check out the podcast.